All right, while they're going, this morning I wanted to kind of start out, and I just wanted to share a monologue that somebody shared with me. It was when my children were younger, and it kind of, at that point in time, kind of put things in perspective for me, and I still have this monologue in folded in a paper where I keep things that I pull out, and I do pull it out and look at it periodically. And it just starts out with talking about this mom who's walking on the way to school with her son. Son's name is Jack. They're walking on their way to school, and as they get to the crossing guard says, "Hey, young man, who is this with you?" And he looked at him and goes, "Oh, nobody." And so as mom's walking across the street with Jack, she has a little chuckle, and she looks back, and the crossing guard is chuckling too. And she thought, "That's what I am. I am a nobody. I am a nobody. When I walk into the room, nobody sees me. When I say, somebody turn down the TV, nobody gets up and looks for the remote. When I say a little louder, please turn down the TV, no one does. I think it's because no one can see me. It just emphasizes the fact that I'm invisible." All the pieces came together, and it all started to make total sense. The stairs, the lack of response, the fact that nobody notices when I'm cleaning, when I'm cooking. I could stand on my head in the corner and no one notice because I am the invisible mom. Some days I might be just a pair of hands. Tie this, help me with this, carry this, and I'm reduced to a pair of hands. Other days I'm merely a clock. What time is it? And sometimes I'm a satellite. Guide, what's the Disney Channel? Some days I'm a crystal ball. I love this one. Where's my socks? How many times did I hear that? Where's my one sock? Never socks, always one sock. Where's my phone? What's for dinner? Hands on a clock, a crystal ball of where things are, but all the time, basically it was invisible. And this woman went to go out to eat with some of her friends on her one or only nights out. She went out to eat, and they sat down to the table, and she was sitting there looking around. And as mom, see if you think you've ever been in this. You're looking at everybody else who seems to have it all together. They're well-dressed. Their nails are done. And you're sitting there feeling frumpy and sorry for yourself. And this woman was sitting there. She was in this condition. She was sitting there feeling sorry for herself. When the woman they were celebrating, who was totally put together, had just come back from dream vacation to Italy, came back, and she pushed over a package to her that was beautifully wrapped. And when she unwrapped it, it was a book about the cathedrals of Europe. And she thought, well, this is a nice gift, but why would she bring me a book about cathedrals of Europe? And then she opened the inscription, and I'm going to read what it said. It said, "For admiration for the greatness of what you are creating when no one sees." And this woman took the book home and she opened up. She said she not only read it, she devoured the information that was in it. And some of the things she found out that no one can say who built the great cathedrals because there are absolutely no records of who built the great cathedrals in Europe. Those that built the cathedrals gave their entire life to give something, their entire life, all of their energy, all their effort, knowing that they would never see it completed. The people that started building it would never see it finished. They made great sacrifices, and they knew there would be no special credit for them. No one would know. The passion of their building was fueled by their faith that the eyes of God saw everything. And in the book she got, there was a legend about a rich man who came to one of the cathedrals while one of the men was up above in the rafters, and he was meticulously carving this tiny little bird that was going to be covered up by the roof. And the rich man looked at him and said, "Why are you taking all this time? Why are you taking all this effort? No one is ever going to see that bird." And the man quietly looked at him and said, "God sees it, and God told me to do it, and I'm doing my best for him. And God cares." And the woman said, after she read that legend, she closed the book, and the pieces just started fitting together. She felt like God was whispering to her, And she was saying, he was saying, I see you. I see the sacrifices you make every day, even when no one around you does. No act of kindness that you do, no sequin that you sew on someone's costume, no cupcakes that were made at the last minute when your kids forgot to tell you. None of those things go unseen by my eyes. I'm there, and I smile, and I'm proud of you when you're doing what you're doing. So you might be invisible and feel like you're invisible sometimes, but in God's perspective, you're never invisible. He sees what you're doing. So that's a neat message for Mother's Day, right? But I want to go in a little bit different. I think God has more for us, and he has more for all of us. Mother's Day, I think sometimes the men just kind of tune out. Think about whatever you've got to do because it's a nice, feel-good mother's sermon, okay? But I want to look at it from our perspective a little bit differently. But every Wednesday night, I've learned something every Wednesday night, either from one of the speakers that's on the video or somebody that they're interviewing. But one of the things that we had that came back to me again was when we talked about what the church was. And I talk about this with the kids a lot of times, the fact that the church is not a building. The church is us. We are the church. Doesn't matter where we go, we are the church. This is just the building. And the wonderful cathedrals in Europe, a lot of them are just the buildings without the people that are on the inside. But we are the people. And because we are the people, I believe that God is telling us that we are called to be the spiritual moms and dads to the kids that are in our church. If we're a family, then us as adults are spiritual mom and dads. Guys, you're fortunate. You don't have to put the bread and butter and food and pay for the clothes and all the things that you physically have to pay for to take care of those kids. They have their dads and moms to do that. But spiritually, we are spiritually responsible for the kids in the church. And I think God is telling us that we are not to just build the cathedrals that they were talking about. We are to build tabernacles. Now, you might say, what's the difference between a tabernacle and a cathedral? The definition of a cathedral, I'm going to read this, it's a very large, usually stone building for Christian worship. It's the largest and most important church of a diocese. Now, this is the definition that was given by a man, Webster. So that's cathedral. Definition of a tabernacle. There's a little bit difference here because I got my definition of a tabernacle not from a man, but from God. And the word tabernacle is mishkam. And so mishkam means movable dwelling. It's a combination of two words meaning movable dwelling. So it was first mentioned in the Torah, that's in Exodus and chapter 25. It was the portable sanctuary that the Israelites carried with them in the wilderness. It comes from the Hebrew root meaning to dwell. The tabernacle was considered to be the earthly dwelling of God. And the instructions for how to build a tabernacle, the definition for a tabernacle, didn't come from man. It came from God. God gave the specific directions. He instructed Moses to tell the Israelites to build the Mishka, or the sanctuary where God may dwell, specifying exactly how the tabernacle should be designed. So if we're building tabernacles, we aren't getting the instructions on how to do it from an architect, from the TV, from Facebook, from any of those places. Our instructions for how to build tabernacles for God should come from God. And he's willing to give us those instructions. So we can build the cathedrals and build up kids that have good morals, are good in school, have set good goals for their life, and all those kind of things. And there's a lot of people out there doing it. They have guidance counselors to help them, all kinds of people coming in to speak to your kids at school to help them along those lines. But the people that are going to instruct our kids and help them to become a tabernacle for God, the tabernacle, the Holy of Holies is there, and that's where God dwelled for the Jewish people. But since Jesus died for us, that holy place is in our hearts. And it's our responsibility to help our kids come to a point where they put that there and they put God in their hearts. So, like I said, we're all responsible. So, guys, dads, all you guys, you need to put on your listening ears because you're responsible. And youth, I know there's some youth out there. If you're on your phones right now, which is the normal place that you are, you put your phone away and you can listen, because those kids that are back there, they're watching you. They're watching you to see what you're doing, and they look up to you. And the same way, if there's young adults out here, believe it or not, the youth are watching you to see what you're doing. So we all need to listen, and we all need to figure out what God's telling us to do so that we can help our kids. So when we think about that, it's a big responsibility. And sometimes we might say, it's too hard. It's too hard. It's too much. Too much responsibility. But it's really not if we realize what we are. We aren't the architect of the plan. We aren't the head builder. We're the apprentice. And our job is to work alongside God, and God will lead us and direct us, and all we have to do is carry out his plan. And so there's some steps that can help us to do that. And in the process of building these tabernacles, it's a long process. You know, there are people who are, 70, 80, 90 years old who are still don't have Jesus as the center of their life. They still need that tabernacle to be completed. So it's across the ages. But we need to, especially with our kids, Steve helped me a long time ago put into perspective that we need to enjoy the process. Genesis 2:19, we're going to look at that to help us with that. I brought with me, because I'm a goal setter, and I'm a list maker. I actually brought, these are my actual things. This is my end of the year list for school. And notice I do have a few things checked off, but there's lots of things I don't have checked off. This is my end of the school year list that I carry in my calendar. And I love to check off when I get things done. Don't ever mark off something on one of my lists, because the highlight of my day is when I get to mark something off. So don't mark anything off of my list. Okay, so I have my end of the year list. I have my, this is my list over here for what I have to do for my health fair that's coming up this week, where I have all kinds of community groups come in. So I have lists. And when our kids were little, I had lists. And I had things that I wanted to do. And I had all these things. And I was like, you know, marking them off. I had our goals set up, time they were in school, and all these things that we were going to do and whatever. And one day, Steve told me, when the boys were little, he said, Carol, if you are constantly looking towards the next goal that you're going to accomplish, you're going to miss the entire process of getting there. And the process of doing it is part of the blessing of your life with your kids. And I sat back and thought about that, and I thought, oh my gosh, I am doing that. You know, I'm looking ahead. Okay, you know, they're going to walk. They're going to be potty trained. They're going to do this. And I'm missing all the things that were coming up to it. So I really had to sit back and realize that that was happening to me. And I was thinking about this week, and I thought, you know, in the Bible, my mental picture for this is in Genesis 2:19. And that says, so God formed from the dirt of the ground all the animals of the field and all the birds of the air. He brought them to the man, Adam, to see what he would name them. Whatever the man called each living creature, that was his name. The man named the cattle, he named the birds of the air, and he named the wild animals. God wanted to be a part of the process. He didn't send Adam out and say, go find the animals, and when you find them, jot down what their name is and let me know. He didn't do that. He came down with Adam, and he brought the animals before Adam. So he came down. He didn't leave Adam alone. He brought them before him. And I believe that he took joy in seeing what Adam was going to name them. And he didn't correct them and say, well, you know, probably would be a better idea. He didn't. He went alongside him, and he enjoyed being part of the process. And God wants us to enjoy the process of raising our kids and sharing with our kids and doing the things that we do with them here at church too. But also God wants to be a part of the whole thing. And sometimes I think we forget to invite him to be a part of the whole thing and to really talk about him and include him. The song for the offering that we use, the Dream Small, I heard that song a while back and it really spoke to me when I heard it. Because, like I said, I'm more like, my natural thing is look at the whole thing, let's figure out, okay, we need to do this, 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 and this to get there. And so I'm looking at the whole big picture, and sometimes we forget to dream small, that it's okay to dream small. And we got to be careful that we don't buy into the lie that we have to do it all, because we don't have to do it all. We just need to do the things that God's asking us to do each day. And we best thing to do that, and Jesus did that too. When Jesus did most of his healings, if you read about most of his healings in the Bible, the things that Jesus did, the ministry that Jesus participated, he didn't go out of his way all the time to do it. It was what he was doing along the way. What he was doing, and he saw that God wanted to do along the way. That's where he did it. So I think that God wants us to do that. One of the places in my life lately that I've really been seeing that, and God's been showing me so much, is with a little boy that I worked with at school, and his name's Ethan. And Ethan has quite a story. Ethan came to us last year when he was in preschool, and Ethan didn't eat. He didn't eat anything. Everything was through tube feeding. So, you know, I did the tube feedings with him. And then his mom went to a huge thing this summer. She went to Children's Hospital, and she was there for 6 weeks while they got him to start eating. And literally when she came back, we had to go through a training because it was, you had to say a scripted thing. You had to do it a certain way. It took us 45 minutes twice a day to get him to eat. But we did it. And so we did that with him. And Ethan has just progressed so much along the way. And while I'm with him, first we had to use a Chromebook with a recording. And then I told his mom, I said, I really just want to talk to him because Ethan can talk some. And so Ethan and I work on our colors. I mean, he can say every one of those colors. And this year, one of the big things we've been working on this school year is getting him to say sentences. And he's learned all kinds of things. Like he's learned that, so we learned to put napkin on our lap, and it's okay if the napkin falls off your lap, I will pick it up for you. But if the napkin falls off your head, that's not okay because the napkin shouldn't have been there in the first place, and I'm not going to pick it up. But he's gotten, so now he puts his napkin on his lap, and we are up to the point that Ethan is putting the spoon in his mouth and taking a bite. But Ethan has taught me to enjoy the process, to enjoy the process that we've been through and seeing him become an independent little guy. And it's my hope, you don't even see this now, but now he's drinking from a sippy cup by himself with a straw. So it's my hope that by next year, he'll be able to sit with his classmates and eat, which is a wonderful thing. But it's the process and dreaming small and not missing those small steps along the way. The other day, just a little side note, the other day, we've been working on saying, what are you eating? He has applesauce and fruit, that's it, his breakfast. Applesauce and yogurt, that's his breakfast. And I have been trying to get him to say applesauce all year, and he wouldn't do it. And the other day, I was weighing, we have to weigh his food, and I was weighing his food. And I said, Ethan, what do you got in that bowl today? And I had my head turned, because he never tells me. And he said applesauce, plain as day. And you know, he didn't mean to say it. Because he got this smirk on his face when he said, I said, you have been able to say applesauce for a long time and you just wouldn't do it. And he just smiled his little smile and started laughing. Hasn't said applesauce since, but I know he can do it. Okay? And so then, the next step is we got to listen to God and we got to go with his plan, not our plan. But with Elijah, God told him, you know, to go out and listen for his voice. And he didn't hear it in the wind. He didn't hear it in all the loud things. It was the still small voice that he heard it in. And that's where God spoke to him and was that still small voice. And that's what Elijah heard. heard with him. So we need to listen to what God has to say to us so that we can do that and stick with his plan. And then the other thing we need to think about with the tabernacles is back when I was at home growing up, we had a church that had beautiful stained glass windows, absolutely beautiful stained glass windows. And I remember as a kid, I would go to church, and I would think when we were sitting in there for a meeting how pretty it was when the lights were on in the church. Like if you would drive by our church and there was a meeting going on and the lights were on in the church, those stained glass would be all lit up and it was absolutely beautiful. And I remember thinking as a kid that, gosh, you know, we're inside. We can't appreciate the beauty of the stained glass because you need to be outside when the light's on the inside to appreciate it. And I remember thinking that and those kind of things. And then we went to Washington Avenue, we went to that church. And those are absolutely gorgeous stained glass windows at Washington Avenue in downtown Columbus. I mean, absolutely gorgeous. And I remember thinking the same thing. You could see them during the day. And you could see them when you had lights on at nighttime. And then there was this absolutely beautiful stained glass up above in the church that literally Steve and two of the other elders got on their bellies and went up and took all the insulation. Somebody had covered it all up years ago and took off all the insulation and got it all opened up so that when the light came in, just the sparkling lights would come down. And then somebody had a really bright idea, which who knows why, didn't think of it myself, but I didn't. They decided that we needed to be a beacon for the street we were on, which the street we were on was not a good street. I mean, the police came and Columbus Police Department came and set up a stakeout thing in our upper third level in our education wing to watch for some drug deals that were going on. Okay, so we were not in a good area. But they thought to put a light on the inside of the windows that would come on at nighttime. And when that light came on at nighttime, it lit up the stained glass. And when you would drive by, it was absolutely beautiful. And that light was what made the difference. And that's what's going to make the difference in our lives, but in our kids' lives too. That's what we can give our kids by being their spiritual parents here at school and by building tabernacles instead of just cathedrals, by helping the kids get Jesus on the inside. Because that is what's going to make the difference. That's what you can see the stained glass window that's lit in that cathedral. When you drive by a lot of cathedrals, if you go, our national cathedrals that way in Washington, D.C., they aren't as impressive at nighttime because they're dark. But if they're lit up, if you light up the stained glass, if you put a light inside the stained glass, it makes all the difference. It makes the stained glass sparkle and shine and bright. And that's what happens to us if we have Jesus on the inside. So the monologue that we started with closes by saying that the author on the Book of Cathedrals went as far as to say that no cathedrals could be built in our lifetime because there are so few people willing to sacrifice to that degree. I have to disagree with that. The cathedrals, the physical cathedrals, yes. But I watch our church, and I know there's a lot of other churches around that, and we have people in this church who are willing to invest and willing to work on building those tabernacles for God. And sometimes we might be invisible, and you know, it's okay to be invisible. The other thing the lady said in the monologue was, she said, you know, if my son comes home from college and wants to bring somebody home with him from college for Thanksgiving, and do I really want him to say to his friend, my mom stayed up all night for two nights making pies, and she's been up since 4 o'clock basting the turkey and all those things? Do we really want that? Because sometimes we do. I have to admit that. Sometimes I want somebody to notice that I did those things. But that's not when we're where God wants us to be. Because that's building a monument to ourselves. What we want is the fact, and what I really, really do want, is the fact that my kids want to come home. They want to be home. They want to spend time with me. So it's okay. That's what we need to do for invisible people. One of the biggest things, going back to Ethan, that he taught me, has taught me recently is that even when you think kids are not watching, they are watching. So one of the things I have to do with Ethan, he has to have water before we do all this through his tube feeding. And so in order to get him hooked up to do that, I kind of have to get down on my knees because I have to get down there and see and get this, you know, tube hooked in so he can have the water. And it's been a month or so ago, but I was getting all this hooked up. And I had it all hooked up and had it right there. And when I looked up, because to hold it up so gravity would feed it, Ethan wears glasses. When I looked up, Ethan had his glasses on top of his head, which is what, if you know me, I have my glasses on top of my head all the time. And Ethan had put his glasses on top of his head. He was watching, and that's what he did. So even when we feel like we're invisible, we're not, because our kids are watching. And Ruthie's going to come read a poem. I have Ruthie to read this poem because I told her she's not a mom yet, so she won't cry. In 20 years, she won't be able to read this poem.
When you thought I wasn't looking, I saw you hang my first painting on the refrigerator, and I immediately wanted to paint another one. When you thought I wasn't looking, I saw you feed a stray cat, and I learned that it was good to be kind to animals. When you thought I wasn't looking, I saw you make my favorite cake for me, and I learned that little things can be special things in life. When you thought I wasn't looking, I heard you say a prayer, and I knew there is a God, and I could always talk to him, and I learned to trust in him. When you thought I wasn't looking, I saw you make a meal and take it to a friend who is sick, and I learned that we all have to help take care of each other. When you thought I wasn't looking, I saw you give your time and money to help people who had nothing, and I learned that those who have something should give it to those who don't. When you thought I wasn't looking, I felt you kiss me goodnight, and I felt loved and safe. When you thought I wasn't looking, I saw you take care of our house and everyone in it, and I learned that we have to take care of what we are given. When you thought I wasn't looking, I saw how you handle your responsibilities, even when you didn't feel good, and I learned that I would have to be responsible when I grow up. When you thought I wasn't looking, I saw tears come from your eyes, and I learned that sometimes things hurt, but it's all right to cry. When you thought I wasn't looking, I saw that you cared, and I wanted to be everything that I could be. When you thought I wasn't looking, I learned that most of life's lessons that I need to know to be a good and productive person when I grow up. When you thought I wasn't looking, I looked at you and wanted to say thank you for all of the things I saw when you thought I wasn't looking.
So if we go back to the monologue that you know I like to read over and look at, when we view ourselves and allow ourselves to be viewed as partners with God, as an apprentice to God, and fitting into his plan, when we enjoy the process, when we stick to his plan, and that's hard because we have plans and goals and dreams for our kids, but God has the best one, okay? So we need to find it and help them get there. So the process, sticking to the plan, and then listening, and always our number one thing is to keep ourselves connected with God so that we can help our kids to spiritually become a tabernacle for him. The most important thing we can give our kids is to get them to the point that they realize that they want Jesus as Lord of their life. And then he will take care of them and take them. And the best thing is, if we're invisible, because if we're invisible, then they're looking towards God. And God is the one that should be getting the credit. Okay, let's pray. Dear God, I just thank you so much that you have the ultimate plan. And I thank you that I don't have to be the one, none of us have to be the one to do it, because we just have to be in tune with you to follow your plan and to listen to you and to be partners with you. And God, I just ask that you help us as this family to be the spiritual moms and dads that our kids and young people need us to be. And we just thank you that you love us enough to care about us and to just take care of us and to lead us in the ways that you want us to do your plan. In Jesus' name, amen.